stand amazed about his great salvation. The King of Kings redeems a fallen man. How he restores a soul by sin disfigured, and all may be included in his plan. I stand amazed when someone tells the story of Christ's great love and how he took my place. He died upon the cross, oh how I praise him. I am redeemed, behold, I stand amazed. I stand amazed about his Holy Spirit, who comforts hearts when disappointments come, and strength anew is found to fight the battle, and grace to stand until he calls us home. I stand amazed when someone tells the story of Christ's great love and how he took my place. He died upon the cross, oh how I praise him. I am redeemed, behold, I stand amazed. I stand amazed. I stand amazed of the love that has sought me, saved me, and bought me. I stand amazed.
Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Garner. Appreciate this special tonight, or today, whatever time of day it is. Do you know what time of day it is? Amen. Well, for those of you that don't know, my name is Brother Combs. I'm one of the assistant pastors here at Trinity Baptist Church, in charge of our academy, our Christian school. And if I seem to maybe preach to you at a kindergarten level, okay, that's because of what I'm used to, all right? Even when I preach to my high schoolers, I preach at a kindergarten level so they can get it, okay? And I don't want to leave them, you know, without getting the message, amen? It's all right. You can smile and wave, guys. It's okay, all right? They have to listen to me every day. It's like, oh, Brother Combs again. They almost thought about staying home. I know they did. So we don't advertise that Brother Combs is preaching because then you wouldn't come, so. Surprise! Grab your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 12, please. And in all seriousness, I am honored that a preacher would count Brother Mark and I worthy enough to preach today. Brother Mark is to preach tonight. Amen. And he could have called somebody else and said, please, you need to help me. I'm going out of town to preach a conference, and I don't want to leave my staff here to preach. So I'm glad he didn't do that, and I'm glad he counted us worthy enough to do it. And truly, I am honored. A tad nervous. You know, I'm used to preaching. I get to preach Wednesday nights sometimes when preacher's out of town, and Sunday nights sometimes when preacher's out of town. But not Sunday morning. This is the Sunday morning crowd. You know, and you all are special. And I get to preach to you today. I'm excited about it. But if you'll stand with me in Mark chapter 12, about a week and a half ago, or Lassiter asked me to preach this morning. So I began to think and I began to pray and ask God, man, what do I preach? You know, Sunday morning crowd, hopefully a lot of visitors there. Maybe some people that don't know Christ as their personal Savior. And of course, Christians who have known Christ as their Savior for many, many years. The workers of the church, the heart of the church here on Sunday morning. So how do you preach to all that mixture of people all at once? And God began to lay this subject on my heart, and it has to do with your heart today. And so let's begin in verse 29 of Mark chapter 12, and I'll read, you follow along in your Bibles. It says, "And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said unto him, 'Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He.'" And I want to ask you a question today, as the title of our message here in Mark chapter 12. And this is the question: who has your heart? Who? Who has your heart? You see, I'm a parent. I have six children. And I know that they're all under the age of seven. Okay? They're not teenagers yet. I haven't gotten to that challenge in life. But I do know, as a father, I want as a father to hold my children's hearts. I want to be the one that helps them keep and manage their hearts. I don't want them just to give their heart to anyone. I want to watch out for them and have a say in what goes on in their hearts, if you will. And I know that's probably true for all parents. And maybe if you do have teenagers, you've warned your daughters or your sons, don't give your hearts away just yet. Okay? Keep on to them. Or let God have them. Or let us have charge over them. Don't just give them away to some boy or some girl just that floats through the area. You'll regret it. We do that good that advice, don't we? Amen? And so, but yet we give that advice to our kids. But yet we give our hearts to anything that comes along. We just kind of let our hearts go to whichever way the wind seems to be blowing at the time. Or to whatever circumstance or thing comes along. But we don't even follow our own advice. So I want to ask you today, who has your heart? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do pray that you guide my mind and my thoughts and my words today. Lord, I pray that I know that you've laid this message on my heart for these people this morning, and myself included. We all must be careful about our heart. It's a tricky subject. It's a difficult subject. It's a deep subject to understand. But there is an answer. And Lord, I pray that each person, lost or saved, would find that answer this morning. Lord, I know there's people in here who are lost, who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray that you'd save them today by the truth from the Word of God. And Lord, I do know that there are Christians here who have given their heart to someone or something else. And God, I know that there are Christians here who have given their whole heart to you. Lord, I pray that you strengthen and help them continue to fight the good fight. God, I pray that you bless this message today. May people be saved and you be honored and glorified by it. Lord, we pray for our pastor as he is about to preach this morning out in Arizona. Lord, that you'd give him your power and do a mighty work there on the reservation. Lord, we pray that you bless our buses today as they go out and pick up people and bring them to church so they can hear the gospel. And Lord, we pray that you bless the ministries of our church today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, I began to study this, and this summer is when this subject really hit me. For our academy this year, we chose a theme, Out and Out for Jesus, one of Dr. Smith's favorite little choruses. And God laid this passage of Scripture on my heart and said, you know, this is really all of it. Here, love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. If you do that, can't go wrong. And so I began to challenge my teachers and the parents and the students of the academy to be out and out for Jesus, to be sold out with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength. Not just some of it or part of it, but all of it for Him. You know, as I began to think about the message this morning, I thought, you know what? I'm a pretty poor example myself. You know, you read in the scriptures of great Christians and what they did for God, and look at my life and say, boy, that's pretty pathetic. I do. I'm just being honest with you. And I'm like, man, God, who am I to get up and talk to these people about their heart when I know my heart isn't always where it's supposed to be? When I know that you don't always have my heart the way that you should? And the answer is easy. Truth is truth. Doesn't matter who's preaching it. It's still the truth. And just because I might not be the greatest example doesn't mean it's not true. Who has your heart today? You know, I've got a little bit of experience in these areas here, and so do some of you. Because number one, do you have your heart? Do you have your heart? In this question of who has your heart, we've got to consider all of the culprits, don't we? And then probably the number one person or entity that has our hearts is ourself. We hold our own hearts in our hands, thinking that we can control it. Thinking that we can guard it. Thinking that we can keep it. But you know what? We can. We can't. And I'll prove it to you from the Bible. Amen? Number one, the heart is wicked. Go to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah spends a few verses on this subject here in chapter 17. He tells us something about our heart. And you know what? We ought to listen to it. We ought to listen to it. Look at verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 17. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You say, oh, Brother Combs, I know my heart. Liar. I'll call you a liar because the Bible says, who can know it? It says we can't. So if you say you can, you are against the Bible. Who can know it? We don't know our hearts because it's desperately wicked. Have you ever met anybody that's desperate? They'll do anything. You may have come into contact or seen someone who's on drugs. When they get desperate for those drugs, they will kill. They will steal. It doesn't matter if you're their own mother or father. They are desperate. You can see it in their eyes. Your heart is desperately wicked. It wants it. It craves it. It'll do anything to get it. What's it? Sin. The sin nature. The depravity of man. Listen, at the core, we are depraved. We are. Your heart is desperately wicked. And it'll even tell you you're great. And you're good. And you're going in the right direction. As long as it gets what it wants, it doesn't matter what it says. It'll tell you anything. It'll tickle your ear. It'll make you feel good. However it can, it'll get what it wants. And it wants sin. Your heart is deceitful. It will lie to you. Young people, that's why your parents tell you to guard your heart. Because those slick boys or those pretty girls will come up to you and they'll tell you all kinds of things trying to take your heart. And parents, you understand what I'm talking about and you're all nodding your heads and amening, but yet we leave our hearts open to whatever comes along. We do. Our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and you and I think that we can control it. You say, well, today, I know who has my heart. I do. I'm keeping it safe. No, you're not. No, you're not. And you can't. It's impossible. You know what? The heart needs to be kept. It does need to be kept. It does need someone or something to watch out for it, but it's not you or me. We can't do it. We can try, but we're not going to succeed. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. No matter how much we try to keep our hearts, it's not going to work. Go to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Solomon writing here. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and a perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Hey, he's not saying to you to keep it by yourself. He's saying, hey, there's a way to keep it. Keep your heart. And the way we keep our heart is we can't keep it. Did you know that God's economy is backwards? It's backwards. The world says in order to get, you have to keep it yourself. You have to stash it away. You have to save. You have to invest. And then you'll have more. God says, give, and it shall be given unto you. So guess what? Guess how you and I can keep our heart? Give. That's God's economy. If you want to keep something, you give it. You say, that doesn't make any sense. I know. That's how God works. If we're supposed to keep our heart with all diligence, we've got to give it to Him. And if we want to keep all of our heart, guess how much we have to give to Him? All of it. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. See, this is not difficult. But it is. You and I fail day after day because we try to keep our own hearts. We try to control the reins of it, and it needs to be controlled, but not by us. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 17. He gives us the answer. Back to Jeremiah 17. You and I can't keep our hearts, but there is one who can. In verse 9, he said, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? That's a question mark. Like Brother Sam referenced in his study of the King James Bible, why would they ask a question and not give the answer? Well, here's the answer. I, the Lord, search the heart. You want to know who knows your heart? God does. God knows your heart. I, the Lord, search the heart. And look what he shows here. I try the reins. Y'all know what reins are? Giddy up. That's right, they're the things that control the horse. Attached to a bridle in the horse's mouth. And it pulls the horse to the right or to the left. God is the one that needs to control our heart. He's the one that needs to turn it to the right or to the left. We need to give Him the reins of our heart. You know what? Do you have your heart this morning? Are you the one that is in control of your heart or trying to control your heart? Let me tell you, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It will trick you. It will deceive you. It is desperately wicked. Go to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Let me show you what's in your heart. Mark chapter 7 and verse 20. Jesus speaking here says this. And He said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Yeah. Any of y'all been there before? We all have. And it's because we try to keep our own hearts. Who has your heart? Do you have it? Do you have your heart? If so, you might want to consider giving it up. Giving it up because you can't control it. Number two, does the world have your heart? So number one, do you have your heart? And number two, does the world have your heart? We're asking the question, who's got your heart today? It's going to be one of these three entities. You, the world, or the last one we'll talk about in just a minute. Does the world have your heart? We go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Hey, your heart is a big part of you. It's an important part of you. It needs to be kept. It needs to be controlled. It needs to be tried and searched by the Lord God. In 1 John chapter 2, does the world have your heart? Look at verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Do you love the world? Or the things that are in the world? If you do, the world has your heart. What do you think about all the time? What do you dwell on most of the time? If it's not God, you're an idolater. You love the world. If the majority of your time is spent on something else other than God, you love the world. You don't love God. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever. All those things have to do with God. They don't have to do with the world. The world's not pure. The world is not love and long suffering. Their definitions are different than God's definitions. You know what? You can't love God and the world. The Bible says we can't. We can't serve two masters. When we love the world, we don't love God. Isn't that not what the Scripture says? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We have to guard our hearts. We have to give our hearts to the right entity. We can't control it. And certainly we don't want to give it to the world because if we love the world, then the love of the Father is not in us. So if you love the cowgirls today more than you love God, that's my new name for them. By the way, those of you that don't know, I'm not a native Texican, okay? Okay? And I'm not a cowgirl fan. I know most of you are cowgirl fans, okay? They play in the stadium down here. They're a football team, if you didn't know. Okay? I just made a bunch of you mad. That's okay. We found out who your God was, okay? Oh! Oh! I am a Rangers fan, though, okay? So can you forgive me for that? All right. Hey, I'm telling you, we love the world. Listen, I'm a sports nut. If I don't watch out, I'll spend more time thinking about sports than I do God. I have to guard my heart. I already told you at the beginning, I was just as guilty of some of these as you are. There have been times that the world has had my heart. There have been times in my life where I've held my heart in my own hands. But you know what? Doesn't make it right. We need to love God, not the world. We need to make sure that the world doesn't have our heart. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus describes what he's talking about here in Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount. He talks about our hearts and about our treasure in life. Do you love the world? Where's your treasure? Wherever your treasure is, guess what? That's where your heart is. Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. He says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where's your treasure today? Is your treasure in material goods? Is that your treasure? If that's your treasure, the world has your heart. It is. If your treasure is in higher thinking or higher education, the world has your heart. If your treasure is in the things of this world, entertainment or pleasure, then the world has your heart, not God. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Remember, God's economy is backwards. The world says, can all you get, or get all you can all you get, sit on the can and spoil the rest, right? That's what the world says. Isn't that a cliche the world uses? Or did I just make that up? No, I've heard it somewhere. That's what they say. How many of you have never heard that before? Really? Wow, that's a good one. You can take it home with you. Write it down. Okay, good thing. That's what the world says. That's the world's philosophy. Yeah, get all you can all you get, sit on the can, and spoil the rest. That's the world's philosophy. I mean, how does corporate America work? Step on everybody else to get to the top. That's how it works. That's how they do things. Oh yeah, you're best friends for a little while until they stab you in the back and climb over you to get to the next position. Isn't it? It's all about gain. It's all about power. That's where your heart is. The world has your heart. Who has your heart? Hey, we can tell real quick who has your heart by what's in your heart. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We can see real quick who has your heart by what is in your heart. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Seems like we've heard these already somewhere in the scriptures before. Here they are. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Those are all moral sins. What's your thought life like? What things do you take into your eyes, in your ears? A little Sunday school song, right? Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear, right? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Right? All those little... I love Sunday school songs. You ought to love them too. We ought to sing them in church. I think we sing them for years and years and years, and then we get to big church and we quit singing them. How come that is? I don't know. I guess I'm just a big kid. Yeah, I know. Thank you for nodding your head. Okay. What's in your heart? Or maybe it's idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like. He says, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Does the world have your heart today? Do you have your heart today? Or number three, does Jesus have your heart? Jesus. The people that I'm speaking to this morning are either saved or lost. If you're lost, either you or the world has your heart. And if you're saved, at one time, Jesus had your heart, because the first part of that is salvation. Salvation is the first part of giving Jesus your heart. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So at one time, if you're saved today, if you're born again, if you trusted Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, at one time, you gave Jesus your heart. At one time. Now, that doesn't mean that's how it is today. That doesn't mean that's true. At one time, you gave Him your heart through salvation. That's just part of it. Are you saved today? At one time, you knew what it was like for Jesus to have your heart and be in control of your life and the things that you did and the way that you thought. And do you still have that? Or has that kind of slipped by the wayside? Or did you say, okay, Jesus, here's my heart, but I need some of it back now. I need to do this with it instead. Or I'm going to give, Jesus, thank you for the salvation, but I'm going to give part of it to the world. Your heart, that is. Or I'm going to keep a little bit of it for myself, because I think I need to control this area of my life. No. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thy God, He's yours. Or actually, you're His. With all thy heart. All. All of it. Not partitions or portions of it, but all of it. You see, we give our heart to Jesus through salvation. Not only that, but through sanctification. You know, we're set apart for a purpose. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3. Does Jesus have your heart? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Are you there? Look what it says. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. You need to set Him apart. You need to set your heart apart for God. It's for Him. You need to reserve it for Him. Give it all to Him. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear. Hey, who has your heart today? Is it all His or not? That's for you to decide. Hey, if you're lost on your way to hell without Jesus Christ, you need to give Him your heart and be saved. But if you're saved today, if there's a time where you knew you were a sinner deserving of hell, you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save you. Have you taken some of your heart back? Or does he have it all? He needs to have it all. Hey, not only through salvation and through sanctification do we give Jesus our heart, but through service. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5. It says this, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ." He's making a comparison. Right, all you English teachers and students out there, the word "as," doesn't that make a comparison? It does. I'm learning English because I'm an English teacher this year. Yeah, oh boy, that's right. That's what my 7th and 8th grader said too. "As unto Christ." In other words, he's making a comparison that already is supposed to be happening. It's already supposed to be an example. That's why he's comparing it. He says, hey, serve your master, the fleshly ones, as you're serving Christ, with singleness of heart. So in other words, he's saying, hey, you already know how to serve one master with singleness of heart. Do it here on earth too. Isn't that what the verse is saying? He's assuming that we already have this thing right. Do we? Who has our heart today? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ, or is it the world? Or is it ourself, our flesh? In Acts 2:46 it says, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and in breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." Remember, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We can't serve two masters. The Bible gives multiplied multitudes of examples that our heart cannot function correctly being divided into different places. It's got to be all or nothing. And the all needs to be directed toward God. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Hey, lost folks, today can be your day of salvation. God doesn't want you to die and go to hell. That wasn't his plan. His plan was redemption, to buy you back. He sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. Christians today, you've accepted that gift. You've accepted that love. Remember, we love him because he first loved us. The church of Ephesus left their first love. They didn't lose it. They left it. Christians, you and I have left sometimes from the love of God and went to the world or went to the flesh and given portions of our heart away. There's some that have accepted Christ and took all their heart back. I've seen it. They mock God. They go out and get their hair all punked and pierced and tattooed and drugged up out in the world where they were saved in your church, in your teen department, or in your Sunday school class. You know they're saved, but they've taken their whole heart back and invested it in the world or invested it in the flesh. You know, God doesn't put up with that long. We've seen the results of that. So why would we even dabble in it? You say, well, I've only given, you know, like one one-hundredth of my heart to the flesh. That's too much. Well, I've only given one one-thousandth of my heart to the world. It's too much. Because the Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all your heart. All of it. One last thing. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 17. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. Listen to what this says. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, that's the result of loving the Lord your God with all your heart. That's the result. Isn't that the result we're all looking for? To know the breadth and the height and the depth and the length? As a geometry teacher, that means a lot to me. It should to you. That's a complex object that has height, depth, length, and breadth. It's not two-dimensional. Do you want all the fullness of God? Or, actually, you can't even have some of the fullness of God, can you? Isn't that an oxymoron? Some of the fullness? You can't have some of the fullness. Some of the fullness is emptiness. You want to be empty? If you want to be empty, give your heart to the world. If you want to be empty, give your heart to the flesh. If you want to be full, give it to God. Hey, Christian, think back in your minds. Every one of you, right now, to the day you were saved, and what it felt like to love the Lord your God with all your heart. That was the day you were filled with the Holy Ghost of God. That was the day you were saved. And you loved God with all of your heart. What's happened since then? Has it stayed? Or has it diminished? Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart? Who has your heart? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who has your heart? I wonder how many here today would be able to say, you know what, Brother Combs? There is a time where I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I gave my heart to Jesus. I know for a Bible reason I'm going to heaven. Would you slip your hand up? 100% sure you know you're saved. Man, lots of hands. Put your hands down. Christian, I want you to think. Who has your heart? If you raise your hand just now, you, by your own profession, said you're saved. Who has your heart? Right now, today, in this pew, who has your heart? Now, maybe you weren't able to raise your hand. You'd say, you know what, Brother Combs? I wasn't able to raise my hand. I don't know for sure that if I died right now, that I'd spend eternity in a place called heaven. I'm not sure, but I'd like to know. Would you pray for me? Nobody's looking around. Would you slip your hand up and say, hey, Brother Combs, I'd like to know how to be saved today. I'd like to give Jesus my heart. Anybody like that today? You'd like to be saved? You don't know for sure you're going to heaven, but you'd like to know. Won't you let me pray for you? Say, pray for me. Raise your hand so I can pray for you. Just slip it up. You can slip it right back down. Anybody like that this morning? You don't know for sure. You have a home in heaven. All right, how many of you be able to say, Brother Combs, I have been saved. I know I'm going to heaven, but I've never been baptized the way that the Bible commands. And I know I need to take care of that. Anybody like that this morning? Anybody like that? All right. How many say, Brother Combs, you know what? We're visiting here today. We're saved. We've been baptized. We're looking for a church home. Would you pray for us? We're looking for a church home. Anybody like that this morning? Raise your hand. Hey, there's one. Two, three, four. Amen. We'll be glad to pray for you about that. Then, Father, I pray that you bless this invitation time. God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray that Christians would get their hearts right. And that if there would be anyone that's lost today, that they come and give their heart to you. God, I pray that you bless this invitation time now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please stand with me. Instruments begin to play. Christian, if you need to get your heart right, you come down to this altar and get it right today.
Search me, O God.
If you'd like to accept Christ as your Savior today, come on down. We want to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. You can know for sure that heaven is your home.